You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Well, welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405 in this beautiful fall day. We're really blessed today to have a great conversation coming up with Nick Freck, who is the Vice President at FSI Designs. And FSI works, Nick is going to tell us, but they work with home building developers to create beautiful spaces for homeowners. So, Nick, welcome to the show.
It's good to be here.
Tell me a little bit about what you guys do for homeowners.
Well, we actually deal a lot with the home builders and design centers. And what we do is we offer, and it depends on our clientele, it depends on the builder. Each one's a little bit specific, but there's two forms for our business. One, we have builders that have their own interior design centers that we contract with them, and they have their designs, their designers meet with home builders, and then they make their flooring selections, they send those flooring selections to us, and then we order that material and we have it installed. And we have our own field personnel that makes sure that everything's done properly. Then we also have a design center in Anaheim where the builder sends their buyers directly to our design center, in which our designer meets with them, facilitates their selections, and those selections could be anything from flooring to countertops to low voltage to cabinet selections to paint colors. And then we facilitate that process. We order the material, we install it. And then in the way of the electrical, the low voltage, we send that to their contractors. And then their contractors will install that phase of the work.
Well, Nick, I've known you to be very passionate about what you do and about the people you work with. So tell me a little bit about, where did you discover this passion? How did you get into this business?
Well, the business was started by my father. And I started from the ground up. I actually started installing ceramic tile when I was in high school in the summers. And then after I was out of high school and going through college, I worked with my dad, and I worked in the warehouse and doing scheduling. And I've, over the years, over the course of many years, I've kind of worked my way up to the position I am now. And there is something about the new home construction that just interests me. It really gets me going, and I really enjoy being out in the field. Even today, I enjoy more than anything being out in the field and walking into a home that we have installed, that we have designed and installed, and walking into that home, and I always do the same thing. I walk into that house, and I go, wow, somebody's going to live in this house, and they're going to build their future in this house. And it means a lot to me that we were part of it. It means a lot to me that we were able to help somebody facilitate that dream.
Well, where did FSI Design start? How did that happen?
Well, my father started working a long time ago with a company called Royalty Carpet Mills. And he one day decided, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to be my own boss. So he went out and he started this business. And he started it as going after the home builders. And that was back in the early 80s, which today it's a completely different market. And then, as you know, towards the mid to late 80s, the market was really tough. So the business kind of morphed into a commercial company. We started doing a lot more commercial work in conjunction with homes. And over time, it started to become a very, like a 50-50 mix between the two businesses. And then in the middle of the 2005, right around that time, the home building market was thriving. We were doing well with the home building market, and then it hit a rock. As you know, I think it was 2006, the home building market, it was bad. So we really focused our business efforts on the commercial side because there really was no home building market. And then about 2009, 2010, it started to come out of it. And boy, I'll tell you, it's just we hired some really key people that went out and got us some new business. And it's been, that home building side of our business has really grown. And it's just been a blast.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So what's been the most significant part of the growth over the past 5 or 10 years?
The most significant growth we've had is in the new home market. It has just been even more so today for us as a company than it was in 2000, 2001. We've hired some salespeople, and those salespeople have brought in a lot of work, and our business has grown exponentially now for the past 4 years.
We do a lot of talking about how to help businesses thrive in California. So talk to me about how you have seen businesses thrive, your business thrive, and other businesses. And what do you think is significant about thriving businesses in California?
Well, I think that, businesses are growing, especially right now in California. It's a good time right now to be in business, but you also have to be prepared for that business. And I'm going to speak specifically about FSI Design. 2016 for us was a very difficult year. And that year became difficult because the business grew too fast for us. And we weren't able to handle that business. And it became a very difficult process for us. Everything became difficult. And as opposed to handling our business, we were handling fires. We were putting out fires. And that was for the better part of 2016. Businesses in California, if you're going to be growing, do it smart and do it slowly, but be smart about it. You have to really look at the business model, and you have to look at the personnel that you have in there. Funny story, when we started growing as fast as we did in 2016, my wife, who worked for a home builder in 2002, she said to me, she goes, you're going to go through a very hard process where you're going to hire people and you're going to fire people. Now, I will tell you that in the first 30 years of our business, we probably fired 5 people over the course of that 30 years. In the past 2 years, we've probably let go 10 to 15 people. And she said, it's a process. You're going to find people. They're going to come in. They're not going to fit. They're not going to work. You're going to let them. It's a process. And now, starting in 2017, and especially today, we have such a good group of people. So I think the key thing for a thriving business in California right now is make sure you have the right people. And that is one of the most valuable lessons I've learned over the course of our growth, is the people are your most important attribute.
Well, how do you go about finding the right people? What does that mean to you?
Well, with us, that's a great question. For us, it was a difficult question to answer, because we would go through our interview process and we would interview people and we'd go, wow, these people are really good. We think they're going to be great for our business. We would hire them, and we found out that they weren't. So what really helped us as a company to find the right people for our company was when we developed our core values. Mm-hmm. Once we developed our core values, we as a company, and again, I'm going to say for 30 years, we didn't have core values. We just didn't. But once we realized what our core values were, it was so much easier to hire people, because then we could look at somebody and go, do you have these attributes? Do these core values fit with you? And it became much easier to find the right people for the company.
So tell me, what are your core values?
Our core values are, first one is honesty and integrity. We as a company pride ourselves on honesty and integrity, and we feel that that has gained us a lot of business. It's also helped us with a lot of our clients. We are always as honest as possible with our clients. Hardworking is a big one for us. We require that everybody in our company is hardworking. We don't want slackers in our company. We want loyal people, respectful people, and we want people to have common sense. I want to touch on respectful for a bit. One of the reasons we came up with respectful as one of our core values was when people walk into your showroom, when home buyers walk into your showroom, when the UPS guy walks into your showroom, we decided that we wanted to be, everybody should be treated the same. Everybody should be respectful of everyone. And that was something that really rang true to me, because when I go to companies, when I go out there and I do sales calls with home builders, you can tell the ones that are respectful and you can tell the ones that are not. And I've always gravitated to want to work with the people that were always respectful. And that's something, even our employees for the first time are respectful to one another. They want to be treated, they treat others the way they want to be treated. So that's been a good one. And common sense for us has been, you could hire somebody that's got a master's degree in accounting or you name the degree. Those people sometimes don't have the most common sense. For us, we've always tried to find somebody that just has the common sense to know what to do in the right situation. And that's something that we've prided ourselves on as well.
So as you identified these core values, I heard you say something about when you talk about respectful, that now people treat each other with a lot more respect. You see a change in the company as you...
Oh, absolutely. Because what we did was we started to look at the employees as a group, as a whole, and we started realizing once we had our core values in place, we started looking at the people and going, maybe this person doesn't quite hold the value that we as a company hold. And so that's what I'm saying is in 2017 we've let go about four people this year. And the funny thing is it's almost the day after those people were let go that you could sense the change, that you could feel the change. We had a girl that was working for our company, and there was a lot of whispering in the corners. There was a lot of things like that, and she wasn't very respectful. And she left us on a Wednesday, and by Monday of the next week, you could tell the atmosphere in the company was different. It was tangible. So, it's something that we push on everybody.
Right. Well, do you evaluate your leadership team along the same values?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, because our leadership teams are that's the most important part of the equation. Because if they don't hold those values, nobody else is going to hold those values.
So how strong would you say your leadership team is right now in terms of working as a team?
Right now we're on a path. I don't want to say that we're perfect. I will say that when we first started the process, it was iffy. And I was questioning a few of the people on my leadership team. But as we've moved forward, they've all understood what we're striving for. They all understand that there's an end game to this, that we have an end game. And everybody is kind of rowing in that direction now. And I think my management team, there are still little quirks, there are a couple little quirks here and there, but ultimately there's a respectful, there's respect that's growing out of that leadership team. We're not quite there yet. We're almost there, but it's.
You mentioned when we started the process. Talk a little bit about what you're talking about when you talk about the process.
Well, for us, the process was we as a company have never had a management team. We have never had a management team. The company was started by my father. We had seven employees for most of the company's tenure. And then as we started growing, we started just adding people. We just started adding people. Well, then you start adding people, there's no structure. It was just my dad, myself, and then a bunch of employees, and there was really no structure there. So when we started building our management team and we started putting our processes in place, developing our core values, that process has really helped the company understand the direction the company's going in. It's helped the employees become part of something now. They understand what the process is. They understand what the goal is and where the business is going. And it's been something that has been eye-opening for me, because at one time, and I'll say maybe 14, 15 months ago, I would sit in my office and I'd have a line of people sitting outside my door waiting to ask me a question. And today, I can go on vacation for a week and I can come out and I have a group of people that are sitting in my company that are all accountable for what they're doing. And for the first time in my life, it's refreshing. It's refreshing because people take ownership, and I think that all of our employees, and I'm going to say every one of them that we have in place right now, they are accountable, they enjoy what they're doing, they enjoy where they work, and they love what they do.
So now we've been working together on implementing the entrepreneurial operating system, this EOS thing. Mm-hmm. What role did that play in your growth and development?
Oh, huge. I honestly don't think that we would be where we're at today without the EOS system. We wouldn't. And it's a learning process. Our management meetings, when we first started our management meetings, they were very all over the map. We couldn't hone in on certain things. Our issues became just carried over. Today we can get through our meetings. We're not there yet. I mean, we're still a work in progress, but there are things now that when we get into these meetings, our to-dos are knocked out as quickly as possible. Our issues, we address our issues and we try and go through the most key issues first and then, you know, kind of wean our way down to the ones that are maybe not as important. As a matter of fact, we started our management team and we actually added another manager to that team. So we've actually expanded our management team because as we were going through the process, we learned real fast that one of the people, she was already handling most of the work of the person that she was under. So we figured this is probably not a bad idea to just make her part of the management team. And that's been a great thing. So she's our customer service girl. She's phenomenal. She's great.
So I want to spend a little more time getting you to tell us about how this EOS program has helped you in your business. So let's take a little break here, and then we'll come back and talk specifically about what you have seen in your company and how this might help other companies in California.
Yeah, sounds great.
Well, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Hi, it's time for another tip from Sandler Training. Traditional sales training teaches techniques on how to eliminate stalls and objections. Some are fancy sales moves, while others are programmed responses. Sales is a conversation, and I don't know how you can memorize every possible response for every sales situation. Also, the prospect has usually heard these responses before and has been turned off by some fancy sales move. When you really think about it, the only person qualified to address the stall or objection is the prospect. Ask the right questions and you will eliminate stalls and objections. And that's another tip from Sandler Training, finding power through reinforcement.
So, welcome back to the Pilgrim on the 405. We've been talking with Nick Frecht, Vice President at FSI Designs. And Nick has been telling us about this process that they've been using, implementing the Entrepreneurial Operating System, which we call EOS, and the effect that that's had on his company. I want to ask you a little bit more, Nick, to tell us a little bit more about what was the process like going through that? Maybe what was it like before? What's it like now? What's it going to be like? How did you get here?
Well, like I said, when my dad started the company, we've always been no more than 10 employees. And for the longest time, him and I did everything. We were the doers of the company. And if it wasn't for us, if we walked away from the company tomorrow, the company would literally shut down. Because there was nobody else to do the work or to go out and get the sales. So what happened is in the late 90s and early 2000s, we actually had two different businesses going on under the same roof. And there was a commercial division, which was strictly me. And I was doing everything from the bidding process to proposals to invoicing the job to doing customers. I was running the job from top to bottom. And my dad was handling all of the new home stuff. And it was a very difficult process because there really was no leadership per se in place. And then as we started to grow more into the new home business side, it even became harder. And we hired a few more people, and really there was a lot of confusion. There was nobody knew who to go to. Nobody knew who to report to. Nobody understood the direction of the company. It was very disjointed. So we realized really fast that we needed to do something as we grew, because if we didn't, we were just going to fumble around and eventually just fail and wither away. So when we started the EOS system, I saw what this could do for the company. And my dad was a little hesitant at the beginning, but once he was on board, it was amazing to see what he thought and how his vision of the company changed. Ultimately, what happened was we got a lot of good people in the company. They all became so much more accountable of their positions. And it allowed everybody to do their job to the best of their ability. And with setting up a management team, which, again, we did not have a management team until 8 months ago. And think about that, a 30-year-old company in 8 months, the transformation of our company from 8 months ago to today is literally night and day.
Tell me about that transition, about the leadership team. Tell me about that.
The leadership team, what we did was we had our leadership team was very simple before that. It was Bill was the president, I was the vice president. I pretty much, everybody ran everything through me and Bill, and then Kara was the office manager. And so you basically had three people, and you had 20 people answering to those three people. And it really became hard because nobody knew who they should be reporting to. If there was a problem, do I go to Nick? Do I go to Bill? Do I go to Kara? And what we found was that it created a huge divide in the company. There were two sides to the company. There was the people that I had a hand in hiring that would always come to me. And then there was the people that I did not have a hand in hiring that would always go to Bill. And then Kara was always kind of caught in the middle. Well, once we kind of set our management team in place, we got the right people in there, we started telling everybody, this is who you report to. This is your responsibility. This is what you're supposed to do. And this is who you report to. And that division that we had in the company has all but just disappeared.
Now, one of the tenets in EOS is to be open and honest. Mm-hmm. Has that made a difference in the company?
It's made a huge difference in the company. I'll share a story, and then I will tell you how we would have handled it 10 months ago and how we actually did handle it. One of the problems we as a company have had was we would sweep things under the rug. And I realized today that it was a huge problem and a huge issue with our company. Somebody would have an issue with somebody else. They would go around to all the other employees and they would talk about that person. And then eventually it would come to myself or Bill or Kara. And then we would go, okay, we would talk to the person kind of briefly. And then we go, okay, problem solved, and we'd walk away. So we had a situation where we had two employees that are very key employees to the company. One is a production manager that's under me, and the other one is a production manager that was under Brenda. Well, what happened was Brenda and I felt there was some issues between those two employees. Well, come to find out, my employee came to me and said, this employee did this to me. Now, 10 months ago, I would have said, okay, well, just don't worry about it. It'll work itself out. What I ended up doing because of the EOS system is I called Brenda, who is a manager, and I said, Brenda, you and I have a situation on our hands, and we need to address it. So she goes, well, what's the issue? We open and honestly had this discussion, and so she said, well, let's get them together, and the four of us need to have a meeting, like right now. So we went into Brenda's office, and we pulled the two of those employees into her office, and we started just having the conversation. And it's funny because as Brenda and I reflect on that and we look back at what happened that day, Brenda told me, she goes, I was concerned. This is after the meeting. She goes, I was absolutely concerned. I thought that we were about to lose two of our key employees because they were both crying. They were both yelling at each other, and neither one of them were backing down. And so Brenda did something that I thought was very smart. She said, you know, we can sit here and we can continue to blame and point fingers and do this and that, and it's not getting us anywhere. She said, she looked at her employee, she goes, do you think that you did anything wrong in this situation? She goes, well, yeah, I could see that I did something wrong. And she looked at my employee and she said, do you think you have any culpability in this situation? She says, yeah. She goes, let's start there and move forward. And it was, that was one of the most eye-opening, and I'm going to use a crazy term, magical moments for me, where I actually looked into the situation and went, wow, this is, because today those girls are almost best friends. And I think without the openness and the honesty, we would have had two disgruntled employees. But now we have two employees that really enjoy working with each other and that have a lot of respect for one another. And I think that's the problem with a lot of companies. I don't think a lot of people have respect for others in the company. And we have developed a system in our company where everybody has a respect and a level of respect for the people they work with. And that's, I think, what this has really helped the company with.
Well, you know, one of the things that in helping companies implement the EOS system over the past 2.5 years, one of the things that I've discovered is when I initially used the EOS system and helped companies use it, I thought clarity was the most important thing. Who does what? And who's in the right seat? And who reports to whom? Who's accountable for what? That clarity. And while that is important, what I discovered in the past 6 months is there's another level. And I think you're putting your finger on it right now. In the EOS, the EOS implementer group, we talk about that as entering the danger. Entering the danger. And Brenda entered the danger when she said, let's get together and let's be open and honest. Mm-hmm. Because what you described before was a lot of yelling, a lot of shouting, a lot of crying. And to put that in one room and then to be open and honest is to enter the danger.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so what I have found is once we put the EOS system, the what we call traction, in place, then we can begin to be open and honest, and that will create opportunities where danger exists. And it's the trust in each other in going into those places of danger that I, in my experience, I'm with you, that's when the magic happens. That's when relationships really become very, very strong. Because we're safe. We can enter the danger. We can be open and honest. And we're safe. I think that's a very powerful story. I really appreciate that. Tell me about the 8 questions that you asked for your vision traction organizer. I mean, you had values. Mm-hmm. You had what is your is. You know, you said you had a goal. A 10-year, 20-year?
Well, we have a 5-year plan. Our management group sat down and we decided this is where we want to be in 5 years. This is where we want to be in 10 years. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because those years are probably going to have to be pushed forward a little because some things have happened recently with our company that I think are going to make those numbers more attainable a little quicker.
Mm-hmm.
But,
isn't it amazing how when everybody is rowing in the same direction, you're really clear that all of a sudden enormous things come up.
Oh, yeah.
And you can take advantage of them.
Yeah, and that's what we're facing right now. And I think that I'm going to touch on that point is how you have the clear vision. 5 years ago, without a clear vision, I don't think what we're doing today would have happened because there would have been too many questions. There would have been too much back and forth. There wouldn't have been clarity on where we want to go. Now that we have a clear vision of the path of the company, where we want to be and where we want to end up, the decisions become a lot easier because how do you get from point A to point B? Well, now you have a management team that as a collective group says, how do we get from this point to this point? Well, we need to do A, B, and C to get to this end point. And it's a much more obtainable goal now. And it's for the first time my whole life, I will say for my whole life, I have been the one, I've always felt like I've been on an island by myself, making the decisions, and everything rested on my shoulders. Today, I don't feel like that. Today, I feel like I have people in place that are sharing that burden with me, and it's always fun to sit on my Wednesday meetings, and that's when we have our level 10 meetings, and bounce things off of people and get the feedback and understand where their heads are at and my head's at and solve the problems that need to be solved. Those problems were mainly solved by me. And today, I've got 6 people that help me solve those problems.
So that would have something to do with your experience in your recent vacation. Tell us a little bit about that.
Before I had a management team in place, I would take a vacation, and my wife, amazing woman, she would always say, you know, I know you're going to work, just try not to let it interfere too much with our vacation. I go, okay, all right, I'll do my best. And so we would go, we'd go to Costa Rica, and we'd go to Hawaii, and we would go to all these amazing places. And don't get me wrong, I enjoy my vacations. I always enjoy hanging out with my family, but I will always wake up at 5 in the morning, and I will work until 6 or 7, until my daughters are waking up, and my wife's waking up, and then get home at 7 or 8 at night, and I would sit at my laptop, and I'd work. And that was just to keep my emails to a reasonable level. And then I would come back from my vacation, and there was literally a 3-day to 4-day debriefing where I would get a stack of stuff on my desk, and this is what you need to do, and these are the problems that happened while you were gone, and you need to handle this, and you need to do that. And so going on vacation almost was no fun because you're going to pay for it eventually. You're either going to pay for it now or you're going to pay for it later. So we recently went to Hawaii this last August. And we went to Hawaii. We went to Kauai. We had never been to Kauai, beautiful island. And we're in our hotel room, and I pull out my laptop on day one. I'm like, okay, and I'm going through my emails, and I'm just kind of looking at my emails. I'm like, there's really not a lot for me to do here. Okay, well, maybe it's just a slow day. So then come back that night, and I'm looking at my laptop, and I'm like, wow, there's just not a lot for me to do. Well, this went on for 7 days. When I came back, it was like I had never left the company. I came back to the company, and I was expecting, like, I was a little worked up, a little anxious, and I get in on Monday morning, and there was no problems. There was no hiccups. Everything was running smoothly, and I thought to myself, wow, is this what it's like? Like, is this what I've been dreaming about my whole life? And to touch on that same story, my dad was always the one, same thing. You know, he'd go on vacation, he'd come back. He just went on a golf trip for 5 days. And when he came back, he had a similar experience. He was like, wow, what, am I not needed here anymore? And I told him, I go, no, you're needed, but understand what's happening here. You have a company that is now moving in a direction, and it doesn't need us to sit there and peddle, right? And so it's a lot of fun. It's more fun than I've had. It makes doing business and growing the company more enjoyable than ever.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, so in effect, you're getting what you want from your business.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what the EOS system is there for, is to help entrepreneurs get what they want from their business. Now, a question that I always get from people is, once we put in the entrepreneurial operating system, once EOS becomes part of our culture, does the company grow? Now, you've been involved for what now? 5 months?
I think, yeah. About 5 or 6 months.
All right. So how would you answer that question for some, a prospective, somebody who's an entrepreneur who is considering the EOS, adopting the EOS system? How would you answer that question? Does it help your company grow? Do you make money from it?
The short answer is no, you're not going to make money from it. But what I've realized is it allows everybody to do their job. And you'll hit your rocks. You'll hit your bumps in the road in the growth of your business. But I will say alternately to that question, your business will absolutely never grow if you're not implementing the EOS system.
Mm.
Because one person can only do so much. And since we've started this process, we have grown. And I see a future now, and I see where the company's going. And one of the things that we've learned through the EOS system is we have plans now. Where do we want to be in 1 year? Where do we want to be in 3, 5, 10? And so now we show that to the company, and everybody knows where we're trying to be. Everybody knows that this is where we want to be in 5 years. And it makes the decision-making process more fluid. It makes it easier. So I would say, does it help your business grow? Absolutely. But I will always say that without this system, the company would not be growing. Because there's just too many roadblocks.
What did you find in rolling this out to the rest of the company?
Excitement. It's been... You know, we are still in the infant stage of the EOS system, so we haven't rolled everything out to the company yet. We have our level 10 meeting with management, and what I've done is I've now implemented a level 10 meeting for my sales and marketing team, but just my sales and marketing team. So my production team, my accounting team, my customer service team, they haven't rolled theirs out yet. So I'm kind of a test case. And what I've found is my sales team loves this. Like they are, we actually now sit down before our level 10 meeting on Wednesday morning. So we start at 7 in the morning. And after we've had two meetings now. And after both meetings, we've rated our meetings. And in both cases, they're like, oh my God, 9. Give me a 9. I'll give it a 9. And it gives us an opportunity as a group to handle our issues, handle our problems, create our to-dos, and move forward in rowing, like I'm going to use the term, row in the same direction. So we have rolled it out a little bit with them, but with the other employees, they know what we're doing. We've rolled out our accountability chart, so they've seen that, and they're excited about that. So now everyone knows who they answer to. There's no questions about that. The general attitude of everybody in the company has improved immensely since we've started the process. So we've kind of explained to people what we're doing, but I am really looking forward to January, because January is when we do everything. We're going to roll it out. We're going to give our speech. We're going to let everybody know what's been happening in the past 6 months. And I'm really excited for 2018. 2018 for us is going to be a really fun year.
Wow. What other companies do you think should be looking at implementing EOS? What problems might there be that a company has that would suggest that they pick up the phone and say, let's talk?
You know, I would say this would be for almost any company out there. Any company that is trying to grow their business or that is trying to find their way through all the muck. That was us. There's a lot of companies out there that have been started by an individual. I mean, every small business out there has been started by an individual. And those individuals always feel like they have to be the doers. And I think that's the biggest problem with a lot of companies, especially in California, is there's always that one person that does everything. And you can only grow so much. By doing that, you can only grow so much. And then you reach a point where you hit a wall. Only one person can only do so much work. And so this, I would say, if you're a company that just wants to be small and contained and do your business on a small level, probably not for you. But if you want to grow your business to any sort of level, you are going to need this system. You really are. Either that or you'll be so dead tired at the end of the day because you cannot do it all. And what I found, especially with myself, was I was the doer guy. I was the guy that would go out there and I would do it. I was doing estimating and invoicing and customer service. And now it is so nice to have people doing that for me and for the company. It frees me up now to grow the business. And they have a job. They're doing an amazing job at what they're doing. And it frees me up now to go, okay, where are we going? How are we going to get there? And that's where this system is. It's just amazing.
So it really is getting the right people in the right seats.
When anybody asks me about this system, that will always be my first thing I will point to, is getting the right people in the right seats. Without that, and the other thing I've learned about the right people in the right seats, the wrong person in a seat, get them out of that seat as quickly as humanly possible. That's one of the key things I've learned. Because if you leave that person in the seat too long, other seats become damaged by that person. And if I can share a story, we had a salesperson that we hired about 3 years ago, and she. I will definitely not use her name, but she was an amazing salesperson. I mean, she could sell anything. And she grew our business to the next level within a two-year period where I didn't even think it was possible. But she was such a toxic human being, and we kept her in that seat far too long. But we kept her in that seat because she was growing our business. The minute we got rid of her, the minute she left the company, you could almost feel everybody in the company breathing a sigh of relief. And that would be my biggest advice for anybody that's gonna do this system and try and implement this system is make sure, number one, you have the right people in the right seats. But number two, if you have the wrong person in the seat, get rid of them. Get them out as quickly as possible.
Wow, powerful words, powerful words. Nick Freck, VP at FSI Design. Thanks so much, Nick, for sharing this. Congratulations on your development and your leadership team's development and the growth of FSI. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens in the next couple of years. Now, if people want to talk with you, how would they get in touch with you?
Oh, they could call me anytime. Email me or call me at my office. My office number is 714-970-2222, and my extension is 223. Or you can always email me. My email address is N as in Nick, F-R-E-C-K, at FSIdesign.com.
Thanks so much, Nick, for being with us and sharing your experience with the Entrepreneurial Operating System, EOS, and talking about how this system has helped you as an entrepreneur and your dad get what you want from your business.
Yeah.
Well, this is the Pilgrim on the 405. Looking forward to talking with you more in the coming weeks about how to thrive in California.
You've been listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. To hear more of the programs in this podcast, go to www.willcrist.com.